Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have Richard Sherry, Portfolio Manager of the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Global Dividend Yield Strategy. Welcome back, Rich. Rich, global market returns struggled in the fourth quarter as international markets were weaker and the U.S. dollar strengthened. Can you provide your observations of fourth quarter performance for higher yielding stocks?
The performance of higher yielding stocks in the second half of 2024 was impacted greatly by interest rates. During the third quarter, the Fed cut interest rates by 0.5% and most interest rates declined. This contributed to strong growth in higher yielding stocks whose valuations are inversely related to interest rates. The global dividend yield portfolio outperformed broader markets such as the S&P 500, the EAFE, and MSCI World indices during the third quarter. However, during the fourth quarter, despite two 0.25% interest rate cuts by the Fed, most interest rates increased, which had a correspondingly negative impact on the valuation of higher yielding stocks. The global dividend yield portfolio underperformed the S&P 500 and MSCI World Index, but did outperform the EAFE Index during the fourth quarter. The increase in rates during the fourth quarter was related to several factors, notably a healthy labor market, which is contributing to an increase in wages, which in turn is contributing to stronger than expected inflation. The Fed wants conviction that inflation is under control and close to its 2% target before it more aggressively reduces interest rates more. They don't want to repeat the mistake that the Fed made in the 1970s and lower interest rates too soon and reignite inflation. As you noted, during the fourth quarter, international markets continued their year-to-date underperformance relative to U.S. markets, and the U.S. dollar strengthened. As we see it, this was due to several factors, which included the continued strength of technology-related stocks, most of which are U.S.-based companies, as well as optimism among businesses in the U.S. related to the election and the potential unleash of animal spirits in the U.S. economy as a result. Similar to Trump's election 8 years ago, we believe this resulted in higher interest rates and strong performance from lower quality businesses and lower yielding stocks.
Rich, can you discuss a few of the portfolio holdings that were key contributors and detractors to performance for the fourth quarter?
Sure. The biggest contributor to performance during the quarter was Broadcom, whose outperformance was related to strong performance in AI revenue, as well as a bullish forecast in AI service addressable market at $60 to $90 billion in 2027 for its top three hyperscaler customers, compared to $15 to $20 billion in 2024. IGM Financial saw benefits from strong equity markets, improving flows in its wealth management business, and strength in its strategic investments. Bank of Hawaii reported an expanding net interest margin, growth in loans and deposits, an improved capital position, and strong credit. We believe Paychex is benefiting from solid demand among its small and mid-sized business customer base and record retention levels. Lastly, PNC reported strong results despite weak loan growth. Companies taking share in new markets, credit is good, and the net interest margin is expanding. From our perspective, an expanding economy should provide the catalyst to economic and loan growth. The biggest detractor to performance was Deutsche Post, whose business has been negatively impacted by slower GDP growth, as well as a surge in business from Chinese e-commerce companies. These e-commerce companies tend to utilize the company's lower-priced products, but the company has instituted surcharges to limit the negative impacts on their business. Amcor announced a merger with a key competitor, while the company continues to struggle with inventory destocking issues at some key customers. BCE recently decided to make an investment outside of its core Canadian business by acquiring a U.S. fiber company in the Pacific Northwest. We don't believe that this acquisition makes good strategic or financial sense and indicates a mismanagement of capital by management. As a result, we decided to sell our shares during the quarter. Adecco Group, despite investments that have produced market share gains, has struggled as the staffing market remains pressured given slowdown in industrial and tech businesses in Europe and the U.S. Eastman was impacted by deferred profitability from a new facility related to feedstock preparation issues and slower uptake from existing customers due to a weak economic environment, which weighed on shares.
Rich, we are in a pause, wait, and see mode with the U.S. Federal Reserve now in terms of rate cuts heading into 2025, but U.S. earnings growth is projected to be solid. If you contrast that with the European market, where growth is slower, There is a feeling that projected rate cuts may need to go deeper to support growth, but yet companies still have cheaper valuations. Can you talk about how you think about constructing the portfolio and the opportunities to add value in distinct types of markets for our audience?
Given the dynamic you've noted, we are noticing that we're currently finding more investment opportunities outside of the U.S. I'd highlight, though, that the businesses that we like to invest in tend to be more mature, solid businesses whose fundamentals are less impacted by movements in interest rates, as opposed to their stock valuations, which are more impacted by interest rate movements.
Rich, you mentioned on the last podcast that interest rate declines in an upward sloping yield curve had you feeling optimistic. Has anything caused you to change your opinion, and what would risk this outlook?
The biggest risk would be a stagflation environment similar to the late 1970s and early 1980s, where inflation was high and growth was low. I don't believe that will happen because the Fed now better understands inflation and what they need to do to control it. Although interest rates have increased recently, I'm encouraged that the Fed has noted a willingness to pause interest rate cuts in order to make sure that inflation remains under control. However, higher government debt levels are a concern to be monitored as they could have an impact on interest rates and economic growth. And although interest rates did present a headwind to the valuation of the high-yielding stocks in the portfolio during the fourth quarter, we believe it is ultimately positive. In addition, the yield curve remains upward sloping, which in our experience generally bodes well for the economy.
Rich, as always, thanks for taking the time to provide your insight to our KaneCast listeners.
You've just listened to KaneCast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.kane.com. KaneCast is the official podcast series of Kane Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.